Hey, folks. Welcome back to Who Booked This? I'm Stephen Graham.
I'm J.R. Goldberg.
And today we answer the question, what happens when you put Fit Finley, Cyclope, Jerry Flynn, Johnny Grunge, Hardcore Hack, Horace Hogan, Brian Knobs, Hugh Morris, La Parca, Steven Regal, Rocco Rock, Silver King, David Taylor, and Mikey Wimprick in a junkyard?
Yeah. With fire.
With a lot of fire.
With a lot of fire.
So, yeah, we're talking about the Junkyard Hardcore Invitational from Bash of the Beach 1999? 98?
Yeah.
One of those 2 years.
So, a couple things about this that I really want to get out before we start talking in earnest.
Can I mention how clever I thought from what I picked up from the promotional videos, it seems to be that the new president of WCW said that hardcore wrestling wasn't good, and they didn't want it in the WCW ring. So they
President Ric Flair.
Yeah. Okay, President Ric Flair didn't want hardcore wrestling in his ring, so they took it to a junkyard. That's pretty good.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's a bit on the nose. But it's hilarious to me that it's probably intentional character work, but the storyline at the time was that hardcore wrestlers were not good enough for President Ric Flair, but Ric Flair like booked David Flair way up high on the card on a lot of these shows.
On this very show, David Flair fought for the U.S. title.
Yes, against Dean Malenko.
Yeah.
I think, wasn't David Flair champion going into this show?
I'm not sure if he into it or if he won it here. One of the two.
I think he was the reigning champion.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
Ric Flair's opinion on wrestling is very valid, is what we know.
So, like, here's the thing about Bash at the Beach. This was Bash at the Beach 99, right? And it just goes to show you how quickly time passes in wrestling. This is like 3 years almost to the day, just 3 years since the formation of the NWO with Hulk Hogan's turn, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. Because WCW by this point was like a shambling corpse of a company.
In this 3 years, they went from a company that was doing okay.
That was beating Monday Night Football in the ratings, basically, right?
They went from being okay to like being like bringing in more money than any company in history.
Yes.
To utter trash in like 3 years.
Yep. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It is. I mean, and like the rise and fall of WCW is well documented by many people, and that's not really the point of this this podcast necessarily, but like it was shocking to me to think about it in terms of like that time frame, you know? Because it feels more drawn out than that in my head. You know, 96 feels very far away from when WCW collapsed, but like WCW was like the Walking Dead by this point, you know?
Yeah. They had one chance to like fix itself, and then they decided to hire Vince Russo.
Yeah.
Instead. And that killed it.
It did. but we also, as is my want when we do WCW shows on this, I try and like skim through the pay-per-view until we get to the match that we actually are watching. And no one has suggested it because it probably is so bad that it's forgettable. But the main event of this show, as described by Tony Schiavone in the opening, is a tag match where the singles title, the world title is on the line. Anyone can pin Kevin Nash.
Even his partner.
Even his partner. So it's just a four-way, right? But with tags, I guess?
Tony Schiavone makes it clear that it's not really a tag match. What?
What is wrestling companies' obsession? Booking team matches where singles titles are on the line.
It comes up way too often.
It's mind-boggling to me.
Not only, like, singles titles on the line, but, like, the fact you have a partner is irrelevant.
Is irrelevant! Like, what we should start doing on this show, Steven, to try and give people some perspective and maybe make wrestling, like, leave our mark on wrestling. Let's start making, like, a list of like, do's and, well, more don'ts.
Yeah.
From voters that we come across on this. And number one on the list so far is, like, don't make a tag match where there are teams when the tag element is completely irrelevant.
I don't know how you even come up with that idea, to be honest.
Yeah. I don't think they did either. Like, really, because, like, Tony Schiavone does not sell it well. He's like, yeah, we understand that this is a total mess, but this I don't know.
First time ever. Oh,
which
man.
Is true, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's not true.
I'm sure it's not true. So, Junkyard Hardcore Invitational. It seems like this is Hardcore Hack's idea, and he sets it up.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Yeah. I love that Sandman got a push in WCW. That makes me so happy.
Yeah, it's so bizarre, right? Like, so this match really, and like, we'll talk about it at length, but like, this match is so bizarre because it's almost like two matches. It's like all of the ECW guys are fighting each other, and then all of the international guys are fighting each other.
And then in the middle... You have just like Jerry Flynn and Horace Hogan in this,
right?
Which is great.
And Brian Knobs,
who's like somehow became this hardcore guy in WC. And Hugh Morris. Hugh Morris got way too much airtime. But
that's the story of his career.
That's true. So, like these matches, there's usually some bizarre rules. So what we got for this match is that. Everyone's in a junkyard.
Yeah.
To win, you have to climb over the gate entrance.
Yep.
And there's a referee at the gate entrance.
Yep.
Outside of
those rules.
Do whatever the fuck you want.
Outside of those rules, there are no rules, Steven.
Yeah. And WCW was nice enough to bring in a helicopter to help film this.
So this is really interesting, actually, because I don't think that anyone in history has noticed this except maybe us two, but by benefit of watching these matches so close together. But they also had a helicopter for the monster truck match on top of Hobo Hall that we just recently watched.
Yep.
And they had the exact same, like, staticky TV overlay effect on both helicopters. It's hilarious.
They did.
So someone in WCW was clearly like, oh, the helicopter footage needs to look more extreme.
The problem with the helicopter footage is it doesn't add anything. Like, you don't see much when you're doing the helicopter shot.
Yeah, so in the monster truck match, it was sweet.
Yeah,
right?
It was awesome.
You could see the monster trucks. In this match, you just saw, like, a bunch of dudes fighting. Like,
yeah. Okay, so there was some stuff going on here and such like that. But what do you think the number one flaw of this match was? Because I have a distinct thing.
All right. I mean, there are many flaws.
But, like, to me, I think if this was, like, a tag match or a singles match, it could have been fucking awesome.
All right. Yeah, that's very true. There are so many people.
There was way too many people.
There was, like, 20. This is like a Royal Rumble in a junkyard. with escape the cage rules.
Yes. Yeah. It's like a bunkhouse stampede.
So, all right. I want to tell a brief story, I guess. Because during the Sandman promo, the woman next to him is fast, right?
Oh, yeah. That's who it was.
And so when I was a kid and watching wrestling, I like didn't really have a computer or the internet at my house when I was a kid at that point. And my friend had the internet and was like pretty into it. So like he would like go on websites and stuff, you know, about wrestling. And he told me in school one day that Chastity from WCW had been in a porno, which is true. You know, it was called Live Bait, I guess. And I was like, no, there's no fucking way, you know, you're a bullshitter, you know, and just like telling him. So he literally came to school with a printed out screenshot of Chastity's porno from his like black and white late 90s laser jet printer. Proved that he was right. That Chastity was in a porno. And that is what this match made me think of. I hadn't thought about that in like literally 20 years.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
I bet like that picture would not be clear enough to prove anything.
No, I mean, like, you could sort of, who knows? In my like 14-year-old mind, I was like, whoa, you know?
So this match starts out with the shocking return of Public Enemy.
Yeah.
Who flip a car over on someone.
Very carefully to make sure that no one is injured.
Yeah.
This match may have worked safer than the Vianos match.
That's true. I do like that everyone's wearing street clothes.
Yeah.
La Park is out.
I like that David Taylor's street clothes are like a golf shirt and slack.
What was Regal wearing? He had like this long white shirt. And
Regal was wearing like a long white shirt and then Adidas track pants.
It was very bizarre. But La Parka, jeans, a plaid shirt, and his mask.
With cutoff sleeves.
With cutoff sleeves. Wow.
Cowboy boots and his mask.
Yeah, and Hardcore Hacks just wearing his wrestling attire.
Yep. Mikey Whipwreck is just wearing his wrestling attire.
I didn't see Mikey Whipwreck really much in this.
Jimmy Hart is in the match dressed like a contestant from Double Dare.
I think he's just there to cheer his guys on.
Yeah, well, he's not actually in the match. He's just cheering on the first family.
Yeah. Oh, man. So what happens here?
Doesn't happen. So, there are, so it's interesting because like the first couple minutes of this match are really tame, where it's like, you know, where like they sort of focus on the first family and Public Enemy and like some of the, like old ECW guys that are there and like, they're sort of just like, you know, pussyfooting around, basically. And then the Euros show up, and shit gets real.
Oh, my God. Finlay takes this match to, like, a whole new level.
Yeah. Finlay thinks it's a shoot.
He does.
That's what happens.
What I love is that, like, basically they rip apart a car and use every part of the car as a weapon.
Yeah.
And which is insane.
Finlay hits somebody with the hood of a car.
One point, David Taylor has a tire around his head.
Yeah.
And he's bleeding everywhere, and he's just getting the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah. Yeah, there's an excellent spot, maybe the best ever Brian Knobbs spot, where Brian Knobbs throws a tire on David Taylor with such force that it goes down over his shoulders and holds his arms down while Knobbs just starts punching him in the face.
There was a lot sorry, go ahead. Yeah,
no, you're fine. Can we talk about how if Fit Finlay and the then La Parka, now LA Park, who like have a pretty long sequence in this match. If they had a match today, it would be maybe my match of the year.
Oh, it'd be a dream match.
Yeah. I mean, they would, like, fat LA Park now versus, like, old, even tougher Fit Finley. They would just beat the piss out of each other. That would be cool.
They could book Fit Finley and David Finley Jr. versus LA Park and LA Park, whatever his name is.
That is his name.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that would be very fun.
Yeah. CMML, New Japan, next, what do they call it? Fantastamania.
Yeah.
There you go.
That would be good.
So, there's one spot that stands out in my mind for, like, the most, like, insane thing I've ever seen in a wrestling match.
Okay, lay it on me. There's a few pretty insane spots.
So, Fit Finley gets locked in the trunk. Then someone takes a forklift.
Yeah.
Picks up the truck.
Not in the mat, I don't think. Sorry. Just a worker at the garbage dump?
Yeah, it was his turn.
Yeah.
He takes the truck, puts it into the crusher, and the crusher... Yes. Crushes the truck, but luckily Finley escapes at the trunk. But like,
yes, Finley does escape.
This was
Sandman tries to lock him in the car.
This Sandman tried to kill him.
Yeah, legitimately kill Fit Finley. The best part about that spot is like WCW clearly thought it wouldn't have been impressive enough without random explosions behind it.
Yeah, I love it. The crusher is going down to crush the truck, and then midway through, just explosions go off.
Yeah, it just explodes, which, like, you know, I've never worked in a junkyard, but I'm pretty sure cars don't explode when you crush them. Maybe they do.
Yeah, maybe they do. None of us did research, but, like, how much do you think this cost?
All right, here's a... I don't know, and I shudder to think. But what do you think cost more, this match or the salaries combined of all the No Limit soldiers that were on this same card?
Oh boy.
Like the appearance fee for Master P, Swole, and 4x4.
I think Master P must have cost more.
Yeah, they probably paid him like a literal $1 million, right?
Oh, probably. Probably. Wikipedia doesn't tell me.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the rumor was always that they signed Swole, who had never wrestled before, to a $250,000 contract, right?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Why?
Who knows? And the best part is Swole wasn't even like the coolest looking dude in that group. But if you go back and watch that match, that dude 4x4 is like Henry but bigger. Like, it's crazy.
It's his arms are huge.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that dude was big.
I'm trying to research.
Can we talk about this? Like, I'm still like, this match rules, by the way. Go home and watch this match.
It does. It's insanity.
But like, this whole pay-per-view is mind-boggling. So it has this match, right?
Yeah,
it has the main event, which we already talked about. It has a boxing match between Roddy Piper and Buff Bagwell, where the referee is Judge Mills Lane. And then it has the No Limit Soldiers, along with an unmasked Rey Mysterio and Conan, versus the West Texas Rednecks, who legitimately had a number one country single with that stupid rap as crap song.
Yep.
Like, talk about a pay-per-view.
Man, not only that, this is fascinating to me.
All right.
So, okay, so you start with Ernest Miller beating Disco Inferno, whatever.
Yeah.
And
the original stipulation of that match was the loser could never dance again.
Really?
Yeah,
that's amazing.
which is a terrifyingly bleak stipulation.
It is, especially for those two.
Imagine if that was in the old days where that was the stipulation, and like some like 70s wrestler who kept kayfabe forever, like Gary Hart style, like wouldn't dance at his daughter's wedding.
So Rick Steiner, the TV champion, beat Vampiro at 3 minutes and 5 seconds, followed by
Van Hammer.
Yeah, Van Hammer. Followed by David Flair, the U.S. champion, with Ric Flair, Samantha, Asia, and Arn Anderson, defeated Dean Malenko at 3 minutes and 5 seconds. They did the same time back to back.
That's unbelievable. Yeah,
I love
that. That's got to be a rarity. And then they had a tag team match that went like 25 minutes, which in 99 is like 7 hours.
Yeah. And it was 3-0.
Like matches on pay-per-views did not go that long.
Yeah. And the before mentioned tag singles world title main event thing. But yeah, so this match is insanity. We got people throwing cars at each other.
Barry Flynn gets electrocuted at one point.
Sandman and someone else are on top of cars. They climbed up, beating the shit out of each other. Yeah. Sandman, like, he looks spry. He looked like young Sandman here.
He did look pretty spry, comparatively.
Yeah, he was working his ass off, I thought.
He was. Brian Knobbs takes, like, a huge bump onto the roof of a car.
Yeah, I saw Mikey Wimprecht fly somewhere.
Yes. Yeah. But Silver King.
Oh yeah.
Somehow cuts his arm like really badly and is like grossly bleeding out of his arm, like deathmatch style arm.
Yeah, like this. Like if it was filmed better, like this could have been a classic. Like.
Yes. Yeah. So like that. That's really the thing. Like. I don't think anyone had the foresight, like, you know, I mean, wrestlers like to do things in one take anyway, but, like, you get the impression that they filmed this with, like, the regular number of cameras. Like, they had, like, two regular cameras, and they had the helicopter shot, basically.
Yeah.
And, like, it just doesn't work. Like, if they had a bunch of cameras, and they were, like, constantly cutting back and forth and showing us all the stuff that was happening, like, this would be great.
Yeah, if they recorded it earlier and, like, edited it and put it all together, man, people would be loving this.
Yeah.
Which...
And then, towards the end of the match, I think there's just an accidental fire.
I don't know. Okay, so the finish of this match...
Yeah.
Finley just walks up to the gate. Nobody's anywhere in sight.
Yeah.
And then a car explodes and so no one can even close to Finley, even though they weren't near him, and he just climbs out over the top and wins.
Well, the car explodes because he knocks over one of the like random burning canisters of fire.
Okay.
Into another fire that then spreads into the car. Maybe it all was planned. But there was, like, at some point during the match, there was just this, like, random giant wall of fire, like, that I have no idea where it came from or how, you know?
There was a lot of fire, which I've been to a junkyard before. I don't remember so much fire.
No. Yeah. Very little fire in most junkyards.
Yeah. So whoever put this together, I don't think has ever been to a junkyard before.
Also, I did not do a lot of research.
No. I gotta give it to them, though. Like, if you have a lot of money and you can do anything you want with it, and you want to be different, and you have all these hardcore guys, like, maybe not a junkyard, but, like, something like this kind of makes a little bit of sense.
I agree, by the way. I will never punish ambition. Creative ambition. I have a question. Am I misremembering, or is this the match that, like, basically forced Finley into retirement for a bunch of years? Because he got, like, a huge, like, all, you know, all the stuff went wrong with his leg because he got like nerve damage from a cut.
That's the rumor. I was just looking on Reddit and someone said that, and someone corrected them and said, no, the injury came on a house show.
Okay.
But either could be true. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, because it's weird. Because I had in my head that this was that match, and I was sort of waiting for something to happen that, like, I could see how it would happen.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, no one touches it. Basically, you just kick back for 10 minutes and then leave.
Yeah.
Unless you cut it on the gate going over the fence, you know.
I gotta say that climbing the gate was scary because it was like not attached to anything.
No,
he was like hanging on for his life.
Probably the most dangerous thing in the game.
Yeah. So most of the guys in this match make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. And then there's Horace Hogan.
Well, he was from FMW. Kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
But like fucking Cyclope, who like he never appears on television. He's just kind of there.
Yeah.
Very bizarre to me.
Isn't Cyclope working a deathmatch pretty soon? I'm almost positive he's working a deathmatch somewhere.
There's a Cyclope that's a deathmatch worker.
Oh, yeah, that's the new Cyclope. Yeah. Yeah.
This Cyclope is Halloween.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Who did his fair share of death matches?
Sure.
When Conan was booking his ECW Lucha Libre promotion.
Yeah.
That was fun, too. But
yeah,
I don't know what else really to say about this. It's just, it's a pardon the pun, but it's a car crash and,
it's a spectacle.
It's a spectacle. You know? It's out of,
So like, it's very interesting how like this match stands out in my mind of like, you know, yuck, yuck. They're, you know, the garbage wrestlers are literally wrestling in a junkyard. When WCW, like basically just a year later, when Lance Storm was winning all the titles and won the hardcore title, and he changed the name so the acronym was shit.
Yeah.
Like WCW was very overt about their hatred of this sort of wrestling, and yet at the same time, like they consistently booked entertaining garbage matches.
Yeah.
Like. The Norman Smiley hardcore match title reign was awesome. Yeah. You know,
Meng
was awesome. Like the stuff like this was really fun. I mean, they really were pretty good about like booking these plunder matches, even though they clearly hated it.
Yeah.
They should have just leaned in, you know,
even before you had like Raven and Bam Bam Bigelow and Canyon. They were having a lot of fun matches too.
Totally.
my favorite thing about the Lance Storm winning those titles.
Uh-huh.
So Russo went up to Lance Storm and said, we want you, your stable to be called the CWO, the Canadian World Organization.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny because you got the name wrong because it's the New World Order and you were calling it the organization. And Lance Storm's like, so my character is just so fucking stupid. He doesn't know the biggest stable of all time that's been around for the last 3 years. His name. So that never happened. But yeah, I like that story. Find it funny. I gotta listen to more Lance Storm. He's an amusing guy.
He's a strange character,
yeah.
But yeah, he is an amusing guy.
Yeah.
I think that Lance Storm period of time was like maybe the first time where I like really, I was a pretty big part during the time period, you know? And I was anything. And then they did like all of that Team Canada stuff, like where like with Jim Duggan, like it was so bad. Like it's first time I was like, this wrestling is not good, you know?
Yeah, it was such a big coup to get him from ECW, and
yeah,
this started off so well.
He gave him all the belts, but still managed to make him look like a turd.
Yeah, you know? That one night, though, man, did he look over?
Yeah.
At least he didn't have the rat tail anymore.
It's true. Yeah.
Man, how did we get so far off topic?
I don't know. We just like talking about rats.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, also, like, this match is actually good, you know? So there's not a lot of, like, funny stuff to say.
Yeah.
I will say again, like, and I've shouted this out a couple times now, I feel like, you know, but Bobby Heenan is so great on commentary during stuff like this. Because, like, even though you know he, like, thinks this is ridiculous and stupid, like, he always manages to find something positive to say about it. Like, you know, talk about how tough these guys are. Talk about how unique it is. You don't see it anywhere else. Like, yeah. He doesn't just shit on stuff. And, it, like, you know, he gets this this reputation as this, like, really fantastic guy with all these, like, witty remarks or whatever. And, like, that's true. But what gets lost is the fact that, like, he didn't ever really overtly talk badly about what's going on, you know?
Yeah, he even when he didn't care, he tried.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jesse Ewak for suggesting this match, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Jesse. Because, you know, this is a nice change of pace. Breath of fresh air.
Yeah, utter ridiculousness. I always love it.
Yeah.
Man, my headphones pick up a lot of sounds.
Yeah, is your dog drinking water?
Yes, in the bedroom, and I'm in the living room, so that's pretty good. Yeah, I don't know. Everyone should check it out. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, watch this match. Watch the whole pay-per-view. Get an idea of what was going on in WCW at the time.
Yeah, this...
See how the mighty fall.
Yeah. Man... Someone also request at Who Booked the Pod on Twitter, request that main event, because I'm curious about...
Yeah, I sort of want to watch it now. Or request the Buff Bagwell Roddy Piper box.
We should do, like, a Roddy Piper boxing, like, special.
Oh, yeah, we could do that. Do you want to... We should kayfabe give, like, point rounds.
Oh, we should score it.
Yeah, we should score all of Roddy Piper's boxing matches.
Yeah, because they have the Mr. T one. He has that one.
There's at least one in Portland.
Okay. Yeah. There's got to be another one.
Yeah, there's got to be multiple ones.
Yeah.
We could do a whole boxing one. We could do Matt Hardy versus Evander Holyfield.
Didn't MVP have a boxing match, or am I misremembering that?
Maybe MVP also had a boxing match.
Mark Merrow versus Butterbean.
Yeah. Bart Gunn versus Butterbean.
They both had one.
Ah, okay. Yeah, we could do both. Yeah.
Well, the Bart Gunn one, there's like really nothing to score on that one.
I mean, that's 10-8 run for Butterbean.
That's true. Fair enough. Anyways. We continually book future shows.
Yeah, what are we watching next week, Steven? We didn't talk about it off air, so I'm just putting you on the spot.
I've got it here. We're watching an episode of GLOW.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Not the new Netflix show. The show from the 80s.
Sure.
Yeah, so which one? We'll figure that out later, but we'll watch.
Maybe we'll do a Twitter poll.
Yeah, we'll do a Twitter poll. I will. I'll set up a Twitter poll. Poll of all the episodes of GLOW I can find on YouTube, and you, the fan, who will do this voting long before this podcast is out. So, kind of irrelevant. Our recording schedule makes these conversations very odd.
Yeah, it's true. But that's okay.
That's okay.
People can see behind the curtain. Yeah, we can break kayfabe a little bit.
Yeah, live the magic.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, we'll be back next week. We'll talk about some gorgeous ladies of wrestling.
We sure will.